Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's hour two, and since it's also a Tuesday, that means that we've already spoken with Dave Bartu. That happens bottom of hour one this day each week. And if you were listening, you heard Dave Bartu going through not only, you know, we talk coaching all the time, but also how coaches, assistants, head coaches, coordinators, whoever, are measured. And part of that is on-field success in, you know, on Saturdays versus expected, anticipated success based on your recruiting rankings, but then also what over time, years and years and years and decades and decades and decades, most teams who finish here in recruiting, you have an expected success level of this. You're either above it or you're below it. So if you're recruiting well and coaching well, so we talked about all that, but then also draft picks and how that reflects, because sometimes that's shining a light on the fact that maybe you haven't been achieving everything you need to on the field. So I always love catching up with him. Again, get the app. And if you get the app, the SST app, you can just, you have it on your phone. Boom, it's there. You can subscribe to the podcast as well at thepodcastpark.com or wherever you get your podcast. Just hit subscribe. It'll show up every single day and you'll love it. I promise you. In about 10 minutes from now, Heath Klein coming on from 107.5 The Game there in Columbia. We will talk Gamecocks as that program is now, just like everybody else, off season, tilted towards summer and preparing for Shane Beamer and his first August leading any program. Tim Hall also, I said earlier, I want to talk Buckeyes. We're going to talk Buckeyes with Tim Hall from 97.1 FM up yonder in CBUS, hosts the Buckeye Show. So we'll talk Buckeyes with Tim Hall. And real good guy, always a fun guest and unabashed. And I tell you what, there's a concept with Tim at play that I want to mention real quick here. That I remember when we first got on, and I can't remember which affiliate it was, but I mean, we're on so many places, like in a town, a city, hamlet, where the college team is. We're on in Mobile, University of South Alabama. We're on in Gainesville. We're on in Tuscaloosa. We're on in Auburn. So many places where there is an ACC, SEC, conference, whoever. And I've always said, I remember right after we added an affiliate, we're on in Tallahassee, that I said, I will never out cover LSU 104.5 FM. All right. We're on in Baton Rouge, great station out there. I will never out cover LSU versus those guys. My job is to offer additional coverage to LSU and maybe a different opinion, but then also cover everybody else a little more. Tim Hall, man, he is the A. And that's one of the things I love, because when I need something, oh, Matt Moscona, or I need something, you know, whoever. Edgar Thompson, Orlando Sentinel. With Tim Hall and Ohio State, I mean, it's facts on file. And it's exactly what's going on with one of the best programs in America. And so he covers Ohio State better than anybody else. And so that's why we want him on the program. So that's coming up. Right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, Arch Manning sets summer visits. This is a big deal, folks. Arch Manning, the rising senior at Isadore Newman. He's got a famous family. He is the 24/7 Sports composite number one. That means they boil down everybody's rankings. Number one rated passer in the 2023 class. He's rising junior, actually, because Gunnar Stockton is a rising senior, and I think he might be the number one. Might be the number one for 22. And he has June visits. Clemson, Southern Methodist. I don't think he's going to SMU. I'm just saying that on his face. Clemson, SMU, Texas, Alabama, and Georgia. Kid's still growing. 6'4", 208 pounds. Man. His brother was on the offensive line, isn't he? My goodness. He's a five-star, and he's the number one, and so he's got his set visits set for June. Headline, and this is Advantage Big Ten, folks. Headline. Wisconsin AD Alvarez to work for Big Ten Conference. You talk about plucking a superstar. Barry Alvarez, and I could have Googled my computer. I think he was the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, I think. Well, he takes over Wisconsin, and Wisconsin, which had truly, I mean, stunk for about 25 seasons, went to a Rose Bowl in 63, Ron Vanderkellen, that whole bunch. They were just bad. They were your homecoming team. Played Kentucky in a bowl game in 84, but they hired Barry Alvarez. They had won four games the previous, I want to say, three seasons combined. And 3 years later, they were Rose Bowl champs. So he just a tremendous career as head coach and then also administrator, AD there. Well, he retired. Got 74. You don't want the everyday duties that come along with being AD at a place like a Power 5 school, Big Ten, Wisconsin. The Big Ten Conference has hired him to be the liaison between the conference office and the football coaches. I don't know what they're paying him. $1 million a year. They will be robbing him every 15th and 30th. There is so much respect for Barry Alvarez, especially with a group of guys who say, everybody in the league office, they forgot how it is to be on the sidelines. You know, the chef forgot how it is to be a waiter. The principal forgets how it is to be in the classroom. That's what everybody, the coaches, oh, they don't, Greg Sankey, what's he know about being a coach? Well, Barry Alvarez is going to be that go-between. So it's just a great hire and bully for the Big Ten. All right, consider yourself up to date. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk some Gamecocks.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now, more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Zero championship history, no players in state year to year. And Godzilla across state. If there is a hat trick of impossible circumstances that a new coach, especially in a ferociously competitive conference like the SEC, if there is a hat trick of circumstances for a guy to deal with that just really make it really paint a tough looking picture, that's what Shane Beamer's dealing with. Zero championship. And when I say zero, that's actually being kind of a little bit kind, certainly so pre-Spurrier. Apologies to whoever listening was on the 69 team, but zero championship history of any sorts. no players in state year to year on a large basis. That's true in the state of South Carolina and Clemson there. Folks, you will not be able to identify a tougher situation. And you're in the SEC. You got to play Georgia and Florida and everybody every year. You will not find a tougher situation. Nobody else can replicate that. Auburn, well, they're Auburn. Okay? And there are more players in Alabama and South Carolina. So there's no other program. I mean, you wouldn't compare Akron to Ohio State. So that there's nowhere else. Welcome to being a head coach, Shane Beamer. I want to welcome on now a good friend of mine, head coach. He is the afternoon drive at 107.5 The Game in Columbia, South Carolina, Gamecocks flagship station. It is Heath Klein. Heath, brother, how are you?
I'm great, Chuck. How about you, man?
Doing okay. All right, so let's talk through some of these factors that Shane Beamer got to deal with on some front. I said that there is zero championship history with that program, and exclusively, that's true. What does he sell program-wise?
Well, one thing you can't sell is that at South Carolina here in the last year, you now had the highest drafted defensive player in the country with J.C. Horn. You also had a number one pick in the entire draft in 2013. You've had guys like Hayden Hurst get drafted in the first round. This is not something unique that you could sell, nobody else could sell, but there are not everybody at least can say you've had the highest drafted defensive player in the draft twice in the last 8 years. There is a track record of reliably having first round picks these last few years. So yeah, you can lean into that. You can obviously lean into the idea that, when we were here before and we had it going, we were as high as number four. So it's showing we can compete when I'm on the staff, we can get these kind of players to compete. And the other thing that's interesting too, Chuck, is that, you sell the idea you're building something and not every kid's going to respond to that. There's no question, but you don't need every kid to. You need about roughly 10 to 15 quality kids to respond to the idea that, all right, you know what? Get on the ground floor. Maybe I can get in, get playing time quickly, but also I can build something. I go to Bama, I go to Clemson, whatever. I'm just another cog in the assembly line. Here I might be something where they make a big deal of me in a way they're not going to somewhere else. For some kids, that message resonates. So we'll see. We'll see if it works for them. But it's definitely a tricky sell. There's no doubt.
As far as the recruiting, when I said that, that there's no kids in state, by and large, on a year-to-year basis, I'm talking about game wreckers that can win you a division title in the SEC. And just because of numbers of kids, I mean, Will Muschamp quoted it to me, I think every time we spoke, that there's 6.5 million people in the state of South Carolina and 6.5 million in Atlanta. This year, Heath, tell me if you agree. I said there are two stones he's got to pull that sword out of. First of all, you have to have some in-state game wrecker talent. And then secondly, he's got to keep them off of Clemson. And the first one looks like it may be in play for 2022. It looks like this is actually a really good in-state class. Now, a lot of them are committed to Clemson or Notre Dame or Florida or whoever. But it looks like that first hurdle is cleared at least for 2022.
Some years you have talent and some years it's a little lean. I mean, you look at it for all the talk about Spurrier and everything that he did and what Beamer may have done as a recruiter on his staff. There's no getting around the fact that you had this unusual run of in-state talent where you had guys like a Jadeveon Clowney, like a Marcus Lattimore, an Alshon Jeffrey, Stephon Gilmore. We were talking not just NFL players, guys who were high picks, guys who had decade-long careers, important people. And you were able to keep all those guys in state, whereas before, maybe the A.J. Green or Carlos Dunlap, you've got a guy that has that kind of potential for a career, they were getting out of state. You kept them all in state for a period of time, and you had that high-end talent. And then, I think it was year 2013, Chuck, remember Tremel Terry, I believe it was, went over to Georgia, and he got hurt. Yeah. But he was Mr. Football that year. Yep. That's a lot more years you're going to have Tremel Terry or somebody like that as your all-state, Mr. Football guy compared to the year you're going to have Jadeveon Clowney. And so, when you have a year like that, you got to try and take advantage of it the best you can. And that's why, it's going to mean so much for them to be able to get these kids on campus, to get into their homes, meet with them face-to-face. I mean, Beamer has not been able to do any of that, nor has anybody on his staff since this whole group came together. So they're raring to go. And that's where I think we'll start to get some idea how this is going, is just once they get to actually interact with these kids, it's not part of a Zoom call, see how the message resonates.
All right, if you and I were sitting at the food court in Hoover sharing some Chick-fil-A, I would want to talk about four starters back on the offensive line. And actually, some of those have got to duke it out in August, I think, to keep their job maybe. The big kid from Maryland being healthy at running back, is a Quandre White, for gosh. I'd want to talk about all that stuff. even if all that works, it's not exciting. And the South Carolina offense hadn't been real exciting lately. So it can be effective. And there were some Saturdays with Kevin Harris where it looked really good last year. But let's talk about what it's going to look like. And again, bottom line is to win, score points, et cetera. But what's it going to look like? Because it has been a snooze fest pretty much.
We're expecting it to be a little bit of a grab bag to start. If you've watched what Matt Rhule liked to do in college, you know, some of what Rhule does, there's a definite heavy Rhule influence with Satterfield, the offensive coordinator, as well as now Joe Brady for the year he spent with him in the pros. Now, it's great to have a Joe Brady influence, but if you don't have receivers that can do the things that you need your receivers to do, or a quarterback who can deliver the ball to them, then that influence may just have to wait for a year or two before we see more of it. So how Luke Doty develops along the way, or whether Jason Brown continues to make progress and become someone who actually gets on the field, it we'll see about the pass game. Short term, though, you're right, Chuck. What they've got linemen and they've got backs, and they know they've got those things. They've got pretty good depth as well as tight end. So, yeah, I mean, is it possible they may just line up and go two or even three tight ends if the receivers aren't producing and mostly just play to mash you and shorten clock if you can a little bit and occasionally hit a pass play? Yeah, that could be the look for 2021. I don't think that's the long-term vision, but with the personnel, it's absolutely possible that could be the vision for this year.
Is it possible Nick Muse will be the second best player on offense?
Yeah, depending on what you think of how deep you want to go with the running back. Certainly, he's the most experienced talent at any kind of receiving role, so there's no question about that. Now, he needs to be a much more consistent catcher of the ball. What was interesting is if you go back and you look at the last two games when Doty became the starter, he actually seemed to have a lot better, for whatever reason, ability to connect with Muse than Colin Hill had. I don't know why that is, but for whatever reason, those two seem to be on a better wavelength. So maybe some of those balls that didn't get caught consistently last year are better consistently caught with this combination of quarterback and tight end. But Muse is a guy that is at least perceived as having some pro possibilities if he can have a good year. So you would think you get his best this season one way or the other. And then yeah, the wide receivers against just a giant guessing game, whether it's transfers, whether it's kids that stayed injured perpetually, but maybe could stay healthy this year. Deebo Samuel did that once. Maybe one of these kids can't do. Yeah, somebody has to step up. Right now, last year we knew Shai Smith was number one receiver. Right now, spin the wheel. You got about five options that could be theoretically the quote-unquote number one receiver.
Last thing, and we got about a minute and a half here, so you can run with it a little bit. You know, I mentioned the lack of in-state game records. Well, Pickens and Birch, Jordan Birch, they were both in-state kids, and South Carolina got both of them, and they've kind of, you know, they've grown up a little bit now. But are they game records, or are they just like good, solid SEC-caliber players? What do you project?
I think Pickens, you feel like, is probably more in the good, solid SEC player, but probably not going to be a guy that ever really is just someone that takes over a game. But Birch, I mean, look, Birch, for those who don't know, Hammond High School is a smaller level of competition. So he is not seeing at that level anything close to the kind of players you see day in, day out, even at practice in the SEC. But the physical ability, the quickness, the size, it's all very obviously there. So I don't know if he'll be ready to make a giant leap in 2021. But if by the time he's done, Birch does not turn out to be a pretty big deal player off the edge, I'd be real surprised. Pickens, again, part of that comes with playing inside, but you know, we also feel like we've seen a little bit more of Pickens. With Birch, you already knew there was a steep learning curve. Then we all know how jacked up last year was to go on top of that. I feel like there's a whole lot more meat on the bone with him than there is with Pickens to really get an idea of how good he can eventually be.
Heath Klein, expert analysis, man. I appreciate your time as always.
Anytime, Chuck. Be well.
All right, Heath Klein again. 4 to 7 every afternoon. 107.5 The Game in Columbia, South Carolina. You got two back-to-back years. In fact, I will say it's never happened. It may have happened with Clowney. I'll say it never has happened. The state of South Carolina in the recruiting era, which goes back to about 2000, really, I bet they've never had a year with back-to-back five-star defensive linemen, and South Carolina got both of them, and they're still trying to figure out what they are.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, and that certainly includes the Ohio State Buckeyes. I just declared earlier in the program, Dan, I want to talk Buckeyes. And he's like, well, we got Tim Hall coming on. I was like, oh, well, that qualifies. He hosts something called the Buckeye Show. So, yeah, we'll have Tim Hall on again. Good friend of mine in the program. Timmy, how you doing today, brother?
You know, I'm doing well, and it's good to talk to you again. It's been a while. Did you just play me into some Counting Crows Shrek music?
Why wouldn't we?
That's so ironic because my 9-year-old has the Hulu page, you know, and I think everybody's kids just man the remotes, right? And he's just been begging us to watch Shrek. And I'm limited in the cartoon movies that I can intake, man. I don't know about you.
Oh, now, how many critters you got running around the house?
We got one, but okay. We also have like a zoo going on here. We're up to multiple pets now. I thought I'd put my foot in the ground and we'd always be a one pet family, but we just brought a kitten into the fray. It's crazy, man. I feel like that Coastal Carolina coach. Like that's how I talk to the cat. I just walk around going, "What are you doing, little kitty cat?" That's me all day.
You're
going
to be fine with a cat. As the cat ages, I mean, basically it's a throw pillow that you feed a couple times a day. Plus, as far as, like, you got to take the bullet right now because you got 4.5 months coming up where you got to say, honey, look, I'm busy. All right, football's on.
Dude, yeah, it's 4.5 months, and this is the time warp. It's so great. We hit May here. June is going to be fantastic. With recruiting opening up, I know the Buckeyes have already done a lot of work and their 2022 class is looking solid, but this is going to be a different June. Usually, like, I mean, we always have content. We're one of a couple spots in America where we're doing a daily talk show about basically our college football program, but we will get a boost. Like, that's cool. You always look for silver linings, right, when you head into the off season. And, I mean, I think it goes by fast anyway. You got a Big Ten opener coming up, and then you got the big game against Oregon. You got the governor here talking about full attendance for the Shoe. I don't know if we're going to actually get there, but certainly there's going to be something, so that's going to be better than what 2020 was. So it's going to be a wild offseason, and it's going to go fast, man.
It really is, and, I mean, I can't tell you, same thing. You know, even going from empty stadium to even friends and family, that was enough for me at first. But
it's something.
Man, I sat shoulder to shoulder last Saturday night in 100% capacity Major League Baseball stadium, and there's just something about sitting outside at a ball game. You don't realize how much you miss. And baseball, you know this, you don't even have to really watch, do you? It's just being there, and it's almost like the game is white noise.
Yeah, that's true. Now, were you nervous at all doing that for the first time, being so close to people?
Okay, we'll talk. I started wearing a mask and following protocols 14 months ago. I didn't miss a single day. My wife's a healthcare professional. I try
so,
to.
So is mine.
Okay, so I was like, all right, this is simple. Put a mask on. And so I hit 2-week mark Saturday after my second shot. And so it literally was me cutting the ribbon on going out. And so I figure if I trusted the science with the mask and getting the vaccine, I need to trust the science after I have gotten the vaccine, don't I?
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair. I got, you know, my wife being in the healthcare profession like yours, she was one of the early ones to get the vaccine. Some of her colleagues chose not to, which whatever, you know, and I got mine as soon as I could. I drove myself 2 hours outside of Columbus because it was just easier to do it that way.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're getting up to percentages here for some of the other sporting events here in Ohio, like the Columbus Crew in the news, by the way, with this fiasco with their team name. Nobody cares about that down here though, but it's looking good for people back in stands. And I'm just, you said baseball, I'm excited to go to minor league baseball. I couldn't go to the Ohio State spring game, and we had kids baseball going on. So of course, like with the weather in the spring, you're taking every chance you can get, and I'm watching it on TV, and I got the app going, and then I got that thing on replay all day long, which there were some good storylines with the quarterback battle clearly, but I just thought it was cool what Ohio State did with the 20,000 seats that they put out there. They were all pretty much first and foremost going to staffers at the OSU hospital and anybody else in a role that had to do with helping people that were out there, either on the front line, security people, police officers on campus, that type of stuff. So that was cool. And just knowing that my wife could have gotten a ticket or a pair and she could have maybe taken my son, that made that warmed my heart a little bit, even though we weren't able to go.
Follow this man on Twitter at TimHall971. Even if the Buckeyes are the enemy, you can get good advance intel from him. Before we talk Buckeyes, I want to talk about – actually, I think all I want to talk about is, all right, who are they getting? Whether it's the NFL or other college teams, I want to talk about who are they getting from Ohio State. Who is the New Orleans Saints getting with Pete Werner? Because the last time all of us saw Pete Werner, he was having a pretty tough night.
Ooh, Pete Werner. Yeah, I think you can erase that. I think you can erase that tough night. Everybody was having a tough night. I mean, come on, that Alabama team, holy crap. That was a whitewash.
And he shouldn't have been jumping on slot receivers anyway.
No, I mean, are you kidding me? Like, come on. But Pete Werner has really shown a high ability to check a tight end, to cover some guys, catch a running back out of the backfield, keep guys in front of them, move them towards the sidelines, or have good positioning. And I think what New Orleans does defensively, they have a lot of defenders that just scream versatility in their game. And you can put them maybe into a couple of different spots. He can play both outside linebacker positions. I think he's going to be a great fit. Seriously, when I was we do all this stuff, and with 10 Buckeyes getting drafted, that was a class to celebrate, even though it was just one guy in the first round. I say only. Just having a first-round draft pick, that still has to be looked at as an accomplishment.
Spoiled.
I know when you're at Ohio State, you're at Alabama, and sometimes you're like, well, there's not two, three, or four guys taken in the first round. This is a down year, but it's still pretty cool. But when I looked at sixth of all of the draft picks for Ohio State, some reason my eyes just went right to Pete Werner with the New Orleans Saints and what they were getting, where they drafted him. I just think his statistics that he put up at Ohio State in no way reflect like what a high-level football player he was.
I want to ask you about Sean Wade because if we go back, you know, I can find you a look ahead to next year's draft where Matt Barkley was projected to be the first overall pick. So, like, if you look at a draft a year in advance, who knows?
No doubt.
Sean Wade was talked about as top 15, maybe the first corner. He goes in the fifth round. And I watched Ohio State last year, and he did not play that well. And it just didn't look right. And I don't know if it was hesitation, whatever. But I got to say, by my recollection, Justin Fields and Sean Wade's daddy, two of the most important reasons that we had a season.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's something, right?
Yes.
Clearly, it's going to be more about what you do on the football field. And, you know, he switched up his technique a little bit. He switched up his footwork and sort of where he had his eyes and how he defended wide receivers moving to the outside. And there's clearly a lot of technical things with that position. You talk to secondary coaches and what they would teach for a slot cornerback and what they would teach for an outside cornerback, depending on what a player's strengths and weaknesses are. You know, you might tinker with that a little bit. But this was also a tough season, I think. I mean, and I think Baltimore's GM and their brass, they made some comments about this and how he slipped to the fifth round. First of all, it's an incredible plummet. Like you do. You talk about guys that could, in a mock draft, you can do whatever the hell you want, right? Like you can have a guy, like you said, you know, first overall when you're looking at the way too early mock draft, and then he winds up being, you know, the 11th best quarterback in the draft when you actually get there. So we've seen that. But for a corner and for someone that had flashed like Sean had, like he was a big-time recruit, so people loved him early on. And then when he got his playing time, he was, I'm not going to say masked, but he was helping out. in a terrific secondary with other future first-round draft picks, so it looked good, and his job was more simple. And, I mean, if the NFL is going to bring him in and he's going to be on a strong defense where the coaching is usually very high with what Baltimore likes to do, and you're going to move him in there slowly, slot cornerback is where he had all the confidence in the world. So it'd be a smart move to use him as a slot corner. And I always thought with his size, maybe playing strong safety might be really good for Sean Wade if you can get him in a role like that or something that's hybrid. Because you look at what he did.
Cover safety, absolutely. Because, right? Because yeah, he's, yeah, I mean, he's an honest 200, isn't he?
His ball skills up the seam are really good. Yeah. Like when he doesn't have to stay with a speedster who's, you know, burning down the outside at him, which you're right, we saw him time and time again. Penn State, Indiana, Clemson, Alabama, you just go down the list, number one receivers just roasted him. And it got to a point where you had to say something. Like, it was ridiculous that he won the Big Ten's best cornerback award. I don't know what that was. Like, completely ridiculous. It shows you, like, what those awards are all about. But give this guy a chance going forward. If you put him in the right fit and he gets some confidence, and then maybe as he moves along, he can get that shot at moving to be an outside cornerback. But as I was saying, I mean, think about the big play that got him kicked out of the Clemson game. That was laying the wood to Trevor Lawrence. I mean, nobody said this guy's afraid to come up and hit somebody and put his helmet on the football.
No. Last guy I want to ask you about, Jameson Williams looked around. He's like, oh, everybody's back.
Enjoy him.
So he decided he would be the guy to leave because Olave was supposed to leave. He didn't. Garrett Wilson's, everybody's coming back. And so what is Alabama, because we're on in Tuscaloosa and a bunch of places in Alabama and all around the South. What is Bama getting in Jameson Williams?
I mean, this guy, he's got speed. He's got good height. He's not the thickest with two C's wide receiver that you're ever going to see in this world, but Alabama, they've seemed to do fine with guys not like that here in the recent past. So he's someone he just needs some opportunity. I think he's a really, really confident wide receiver. And if you pop on the early film of the spring game, he was looked at early and often by Jack Miller, the other QB, who's probably not going to get the starting job here. It's going to go to CJ Stroud, by the way. So the rest of the college football world, be prepared for C.J. Stroud to be doing it here in the fall and putting up the big numbers with all of these toys that Ohio State has. But Jameson Williams, I mean, he was a decent recruit, a four-star guy, top 100 player, so people knew about him. There was a reason that Ohio State wanted him. And I'm telling you, just if you talk about best assistant coaches in America with all the names that you guys have down in the SEC, Brian Hartline, without a doubt, the wide receiver coach here at Ohio State who played here and has NFL experience, he is right at the top of the list. And the way that this guy can recruit and keep bringing in top-notch receivers, top 10 caliber receivers, top 10 overall caliber receivers. When you talk about overall players in the country, he continues to bring them in. So it's understandable that a guy like Jameson Williams looks and sees, like you said, Chris Olave's back again. Garrett Wilson's back again. This is another year of my life at Ohio State, even with the free year of eligibility, that might go by the wayside. Because you look at his career numbers, what's 15 catches for 256? That's a good Jalen Waddle game, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he's just wanting a little bit more and seeing the departures at Alabama. You get a chance to go from Ohio State to Alabama? I mean, maybe you should take it.
All right. Well, Tim, I appreciate your time. I want to tell you, give your wife, elbow, fist bump or something from me. You know,
Yours too. What's her name?
Kristen.
All right, Kristen.
Yeah.
Superstar.
Yeah, she spent
the real heroes.
Yeah, she spent actually 8 hours on Saturday dealing out vaccination shots anyway. So she's I will absolutely pass that on, and we'll catch up on the Buckeyes again sometime, man. Thank you, brother.
Same. Yeah. All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, Tim Hall again from the Buckeye Show, 97.1 The Fan up yonder in C-Bus. This past Saturday spent 8 hours just injecting folks, man, dealing out the vaccinations. So that's how she spent her Saturdays, and all volunteers. So we're going to take a break, come back, wrap up on a Tuesday night.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
If you look at the top 10 recruiters of the last 6 years, which is one of two teams that isn't top 10 in NFL draft picks? Georgia. Georgia is a really, really good recruiter, at least on paper, but they are A, not that great at developing draft picks compared to their recruiting, and B, their recruiting hasn't translated into what it should.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. He joins us, of course, every Tuesday, talking about Kirby Smart and the development of the players there in that program in Athens. If you did not hear Dave, well, you can hear Dave if you want to. You can get the app and you can listen that way, or you can just subscribe to the podcast. It shows up whenever you want it. Latest show. Boom. Magically. Again, get the podcast. You can subscribe to it at The Podcast Park, wherever you get your podcast. It's out there. It's free. So go ahead and get it. Dan Matthews is going to jump in just a couple of minutes. But right now, I'm going to wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Do not dismiss anything you see coming across the transfer portal. I saw yesterday a tweet from a kid that I'd never heard of. Now, I do follow recruiting, and then leading up to December's early signing period in February, obviously everyone follows it more then, and that's kind of the habit that I have as well. But a three-star receiver from Blanchard, Oklahoma, who 2 years ago committed to Nebraska, I didn't know who Jamie Nance was, not until yesterday, when I saw a tweet from him sent out by the NCAA transfer portal, which is the 24/7 sports Twitter handle that follows the football portal. Saw a tweet from Jamie Nance, three-star receiver from Oklahoma, who had spent the last 2 years at Nebraska. All right? Nebraska Cornhuskers, Power 5, Big 10, play all the biggest schools. And Jamie Nance tweets out, blessed to receive an offer from Incarnate Word. And I took it as legit. So I started doing a little deeper dive on Jamie Nance because most folks are going to, because the title of the retweet was University of Nebraska wide receiver, Nebraska Cornhusker football player says, I may go to Incarnate Word. When I tell you don't dismiss anything you see coming across the transfer portal, you have a combination of factors leading former Nebraska players to considering places, quote, like Incarnate Word. I'll get to that part in just a second. The first part is you've got kids from all kinds of schools, whether it's Nebraska or Tulsa or Tulane or Penn State, all over America, jumping into the portal. Their own team says, okay, and they go out and replace that kid. Hey, I want to jump out of the portal and come back to wherever it was I've spent the last 2 years, and the school says, you ain't got a scholarship here anymore. You jump in the portal, we replaced you, but didn't do it out of meanness or spite. Just we knew that we needed a wide receiver, and you said you would leave, and so we replaced you. There are players all over America who are getting that bad news. And so they're realizing they're going to take whatever scholarship is out there. As far as dropping all the way down from Nebraska to Incarnate Word, I will tell you, first of all, it's more expensive to go to Incarnate Word. It's a school, it's a university, it's a campus in San Antonio. And it's a good school. It's a good education. It's a pricey education. And they actually do have some, they got Houston Texans money. Is that it? Is that
HBU, Houston Baptist, has Bob McNair's money. Yes.
That's it. That Houston Baptist and the Huskies
Bailey Zapp and that crew, they've got the McNair money. The Incarnate Word over in San Antonio, they are jumping up. Maybe they're an FCS program now. And I got to admit, I haven't followed them, but I know that they're a program and they play, quote, real programs. And so when you see tweets coming across from a Nebraska player from the Big Ten and he's considering Incarnate Word, don't look down your nose at it. That kid may be happy to have the scholarship there, and it actually is a program like a lot of others that are trying to bump up. And you know what they've never had a shot at? A wide receiver who would go to Nebraska. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Yeah, there are a lot of those programs out there. You know, Western Kentucky, actually, where David went, that was one of them. They transitioned to Division I, I want to say like 08, 09. That's when Willie was there. Houston Baptist, who they've actually had their quarterback transfer up, and now he's got his final season. Incarnate Word, same sort of thing. There are a lot of programs out there. Liberty just did it, as a matter of fact. So that is what you're going to see a lot of. And don't think that it is a kid necessarily transferring down. He's going to be happy to have a scholarship. What up, Dan?
Well, it's also, too, I mean, it's these programs that, number one, have the perfect marriage of money and also a great base. And that's something that areas like Houston, like San Antonio, and like, for example, Kennesaw State, just north of Atlanta, is a program that really, in pretty short order since their starting program in, what, 2016, 2017, around that time, that they've been a pretty successful program and one that normally is in the FCS playoffs, just missing out this year. They are, by the way, an FCS program. Lone Star Conference, our University of Incarnate Word, 0-1 in the playoffs. So they've got that going for them. Speaking of a program who is trying to get a jump start right now, Chuck, I sent you a text last night where I think my text was something along the lines of they did it again, and that is Florida State and what Mike Norvell is trying to do in his second full season at FSU. And you've talked before about what Jake Spavital is trying to do at Texas State. And this is, I believe, at least the first real version we've seen in Power 5 football of a coach saying, not only do I need players that can help me win now, I need to be able to win now. And you have gone to the tune of adding Mackenzie Milton. Will he start? Time will tell. Then you add DJ Williams, another strong player to you. Andrew Parchment yesterday, who was a standout player in a passing game in a program that is not supposed to have a standout player in a passing game, from Kansas. And then you add Dylan Gibbons last night, the three-star offensive lineman from Notre Dame, which prompted me to send you that text where I'm saying to myself, not only are you going for it if you're Florida State, I would even venture to say, Chuck, they're going to accomplish two things this year. Number one, they're not going to look like the team that, like Al Pacino says in Son of a Woman, when the bow breaks and the cradle will fall, because they had that the last couple of years. They're going to look like a competent team on the field, and I even might venture to say, Chuck, they're going to get somebody they're not supposed to get this year.
They'll have just the increase in just sheer volume of ACC upper crust talent, like that level of player. It's been a dramatic increase. You still got to play together. Especially a couple of different places around our roster, but the talent is, it's just night and day. It really should be. I agree with that. All right, wraps it up on a Tuesday, folks. Be back tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.